So as I said, in the sense
of relationships, the whole world can be regarded as nothing but a network of relationships. The knowledge of this network is what we may call the cosmic knowledge. If you know the network of all the knots in the world, all the threads in the world, how they are related, interrelated, it is a cosmic knowledge. And once, in fact, there is a kind of a consciousness which is called cosmic consciousness. And if you enter into that consciousness, you don't need to learn little by little as we now learn. To be in that state of consciousness automatically brings you the perception of cosmic harmonies and enables you also to work on this cosmic harmony. So what may seem to be extremely difficult now at a mental level may seem to be simple and straightforward once you enter into that consciousness. If somebody were to describe to you how a huge landscape appears and you read separate descriptions of all these landscapes, you find it so complex, so baffling, you may not understand the complexity of so many descriptions put together. But the moment you rise to the top of the hill and you look around, in a few seconds you know the whole. Then no more things look so difficult. Similarly, today if we are to be told, look, Indra has such and such threads of consciousness and such powers of relationships, Ashwins have got another, and Varuna has another, Mitra has another, Bhaga has another, we become so intrigued. But once you rise to that cosmic consciousness, everything becomes so simple. But this is the knowledge that we find in the Veda, and this is the greatness of the Veda. The Veda discovered varieties of complexities of gods, goddesses, human beings, and all the creation, entire interrelationship, entire network. And this network is not to be found anywhere in the world. Therefore, you might say, if you want to know the network, Veda is supreme. That is a scientific fact. And let us see, if any other book gives you, you will salute it. There is no question. It's not as if we are dogmatic and say, oh, no, my Veda, therefore it must be the best and the highest. Not that. In the Veda, you find this knowledge. If any other book happens to be there, we shall be very happy. Let us read that also. So our attitude is not that this is the only thing and this is the best and the highest and now nothing more. It's not their attitude at all. But if you find in the Veda this knowledge, you have got to say there is no other book in the world which gives you this description. So what can you do about it? You have got to see it is the best and the highest. But as far as this is concerned, as far as this network of the cosmos is concerned, you can say that Veda gives you the most complex knowledge of the network of the world. And also tells you the secret by which you can come into contact with various gods, with various important centers of network, and how you can relate yourself with them, and how you can derive the power from that network. And it says there are two ways by which you can do, how you can relate. That secret is given, very simple, in words, although difficult to implement. First word is that each god can be invoked. There is a secret of invocation. Now, what is that invocation? They found it's very simple actually. That they have given names to themselves. These gods have names of their own. If I want to meet Sarita, I can say Sarita, and I can immediately get into contact with her. This only secret is only name. Call, and the connection is established. It's so simple as that, basically. It is true even in the human world. If you know the name of somebody, then it's easy to contact. Even supposing, for example, I want to deal with a certain ministry of foreign relations. I want simply my visa, for example, very quickly. Then normally I say, whom shall I contact? And then if you find the name of the person, it's a great gain. If you know the name of that person, you can more easily contact him. Now similarly, in the Vedas, you have the names. For example, the word Indra is not an arbitrary name. It has a sound. Sound has vibrations. These vibrations are of such a nature that they really bring Indra himself connected with this name. The powers or the capacities that Indra possesses have a vibration, and these vibrations in terms of sound is Indra. The very word Indra is therefore a significant name. Now this was the discovery of the Vedic rishis. They did not arbitrarily give the name, this is Indra, this is Varuna, this is Bhaga. No. The words themselves have sound notations and sound power. And when you utter those words, they immediately bring you into contact with the corresponding God. Therefore Veda is called a book of secret knowledge. Today, because we don't believe and we all throw it out in our modern arrogance and pride, is only at our price actually. But if you really want to come into contact, the Veda gives us those mantras which are addressed to Indra. Similarly, Agni, if you really want to come into contact with Agni, the word Agni itself is an invocatory word. The Vedic rishis were so great that they found out what are the vibrations, sound vibrations of these powers. Having got those sound vibrations, they gave the names accordingly. So the Vedic gods do not have arbitrary names. They have got real names, you might say, that they are the real sounds. So that is the first secret of the Veda. The second is that every god demands sacrifice. This is another method. Not only invocation, but also sacrifice. Now actually sacrifice is not properly understood. Sometimes it is said the sacrifice is a kind of a bribe. Anthropomorphic interpretation of sacrifice. It is said if you make a sacrifice, then God will be pleased and will give in return something that is His province. But actually it is not true. Sacrifice means the loosening of our threads of connections. If you want to connect yourself with Indra, for example, Indra is the power of light, just as Agni is the power of aspiration, just as Varuna is the power of wideness. So if you are in search of light, then the threads which are in me, which are so confusedly set in my being, which prevent the entry of light, that even if Indra wants to enter into you, you will prevent his entry into you because of the threads which are in a very confused network in your own being. So sacrifice means that you loosen your cobwebs. And your present limitations, and simply expand them out. And as you go on expanding them out, the higher force will be able to enter into you. It's not a bribery that you give that, well, oh God, I'm giving you this kind of a sacrifice, I'll take 5 cows and give you in... It's not that sort of thing. It may have symbolic meaning, but that is not the real sacrifice.